UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
During the past decade, numerous reports have supported the contribution of awake mapping and surgical removal of brain lesions in eloquent areas with a significant increase of the extent of resection while minimizing the risk of permanent deficit and even improving quality of life. My guest today is Dr. Ichiro Nakano. He's a neurosurgeon at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nakano. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of awake surgery.
So this surgical treatment started about 10 or 15 years ago, specifically called sleep-awake-sleep procedure for malignant brain cancer. Just to let you know, the current difficulty to treat brain cancer, the median survival of the patient with a primary brain tumor is somewhere around 15 months to 20 months, even though we treat the patient with surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. Sleep-awake-sleep procedure, we use that specifically for the tumors that are located in a functional brain area that controls verbal and also body movement. The reason why we need sleep-awake-sleep procedure is because when tumor grows rapidly, then the area that controls the body movement and the verbal function moves away as well. Functional MRI cannot detect specifically the change of the location specific enough to avoid complication during surgery. So by having a patient awake during the procedure to take out the tumor that is either on top of the functional area or adjacent to the functional area, we can communicate with the patient to make sure that the surgical removal of the tumor does not cause any symptomatic complication to cause a patient to become unable to speak or unable to move their body. This procedure can be done only by comprehensive team, including neurosurgeon and neuro-oncologist and neuroanesthesiologist and speech therapist, physical therapist, that get together during the procedure to communicate with the patient so that we can monitor the patient function during the time that surgeon is taking out the tumor. There is a strong evidence that once we can take out the tumor as much as possible, then the patient outcome, including the lifespan after surgery, has a benefit. By doing this procedure, we can even communicate with the pathologist to take out the piece to make a diagnosis, and we can even directly communicate with the patient whether or not it is causing any complication and then making a diagnosis during the procedure. As far as we know, UAB neurosurgery team is the only team in this area that provide sleep-awake-sleep procedure for brain cancer.
Dr. Nakano, tell us about the criteria for patient selection for this type of procedure.
This procedure is for primary brain tumor, and the most frequent primary brain tumor is glioblastoma. Sometimes we apply this procedure for low-grade glioma as well. So patient with a glioma, including low-grade, high-grade glioblastoma, those are the patients that can be considered for this procedure.
And can this technique, which optimizes the surgical approach, reduce post-operative morbidity?
Because we monitor the patient during the procedure, which sometimes cause trouble for the brain function, then obviously post-operatively we do not expect anything beyond what we see during the procedure.
Speak about some of the anesthesiological protocols that are involved, and can they at some point during or at the end of the procedure place the patient back under general?
You can imagine surgical treatment for brain cancer include incision of the scalp and large bone opening that can be painful for patients. That's why we put the patient asleep, and skilled neuroanesthesiologist can induce block and use a certain drug that causes a sleep of the patient without causing a breathing problem. And then by finishing the painful procedure, including the skin incision, then we start to expose the brain, which doesn't cause any pain for the patient. That's the time we put the patient back from the sleep to awake state. And this process is closely monitored by neuroanesthesiologists, which control the consciousness level of the patient and also the pain of the patient. In case the patient have pain, then we use either increase or decrease the level of sleepiness, and also we use local block to reduce the pain of the patient.
Dr. Nakano, speak of mapping of non-language functions and visuospatial and cognitive deficits.
So there's accumulated studies to identify the location of the brain area that control the speech. But as you can imagine, speech is a complicated process by comprehending what people say to you and then understand followed by a motor speech that express what you want to speak. So there are multiple areas that control individual steps, and when the tumor is located either on top of those areas or nearby, then that will cause so-called plasticity. Plasticity means that the brain is shifted to a certain area because of the presence of rapidly growing tumor. And this process is unpredictable, and there's a big difference between patients. That's why we need to use awake mapping individually during the procedure so that we can identify the change of the location individually during the procedure to take out the brain cancer.
And it's not only for speech and language. Is that true?
That is true. This is for motor function, sensory function. Sometimes we monitor calculation, for example, and other high brain functions.
So in just the last few minutes, Dr. Nakano, tell other physicians what you would like them to know about awake surgery and neurosurgical advancements in awake surgery.
One thing that I want people to know is that there's an accumulated evidence that we need to take out as much tumor as possible. But that's at the same time, the prognosis of the patient with primary brain cancer, including glioblastoma, is unfortunately very poor, less than 2 years. So we don't want to cause any functional deficit with the time that is left for the patient. It is critically important to keep the function of the patient and take out the tumor. That is called safely maximal resection of the tumor. So this can be done by, again, comprehensive team, including people, physicians with a different expertise. UAB neurosurgery team is one of them.
And how can a community physician refer a patient to UAB Medicine?
You can make a phone call to 1-800-UAB-MIST and tell the person with my name, Dr. Nakano, and I can navigate the patient to the appropriate person who can be in charge of the treatment.
And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
That is because we have a comprehensive team, including anesthesiologists, neurosurgeon, ICU docs, pathologists, who treat the patient as a single team.
Thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.